We're coming up to Rama exit.
The what?
Rama, R-A-M-A-H.
Never heard of it.
It's between Baton Rouge and Opelousas. You know, an hour from your house. Oh. Seems like you would have heard of it.
Nope. Thank you.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but Jake, go grab me a beer out of the fridge, please, while you listen to this. We are recording this the day after the Saints... farm team played an exhibition game against the Miami Super Bowl champions, and Wes was on his way home from the game last night during the two-point conversion instant reaction recording, and he's still on his way home. It's a long drive. I think they took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. So Wes, we'll start with you. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
No number. I have done some of the driving. We were on our way to a hotel last night. We stayed and had a nice breakfast this morning and headed back.
All right, yeah. Where'd y'all eat? Ruby Slipper?
No, this morning we ate a toast. A newer place that was amazing. One of the better breakfasts I've had. It will be a staple of our visits to New Orleans.
All right, thanks.
I recommend it next week when you're there.
Ah, maybe so. Because actually the game got moved to 3:30,
since now you have to spend Sunday night, Monday morning you should go eat a toast.
So I'm not spending Sunday night, I'm driving back. Why do I have to spend it? Because I don't have to drive at midnight?
Oh, because you'll be at 11 when the game's over?
Mm-hmm. No, the game's at 3:30.
You're saying you will be at an 11.
I believe you will be at 11. No, you will be at 11.
I see. Well, it depends. If we're winning... We're staying an extra night. All right. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number. But apparently Ben's hosting skills are rubbing off on you because you didn't even do the proper keep your legs in earbuds.
No, that comes after.
No, it doesn't.
No, you're right.
It does.
I know it does. I know I'm right. You do that first, I did listen. Then you introduce everybody.
Dude, I listened to the instant reaction earlier today.
Sorry.
Wow. Yeah,
really sorry about that.
Wow. Like, Ben, I'm thinking he's doing it on purpose now. It's fine.
I didn't listen to it. I'm not sure how it would have been edited, but hopefully you didn't hear the entire live version. Hopefully it was an edited version that you listened to.
I could tell it was edited, but
good. It needed it. And some that deep was, editing necessary.
If that's what made it. Ben, how hard is, I mean, I'll give him the fact that it was like 5 a.m. and he was probably tired and whatever. All right. Where are we? Scott, you did your thing. All right. James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 0 and I'm very, very tired.
I'll bet you are. And we have our special guest back by popular demand, our Dome Patrol Gen Z show host, Andrew. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
0, but I didn't think we had a show or anything.
Well, we'll see.
You didn't say anything about that.
Well, is he like the host of Dome Patrol Kids or something?
Just do it. No, don't, not kids. That's too childish. That Dome Patrol kids with a Z and it's written in crayon. Wait, no, that was old.
You didn't discuss this. What do you?
You said you wanted to host your own podcast episode, and oh, you no. have to prove your chops on the show first. So if you're good enough, we'll give you a Dome Patrol Gen Z show where you and your little buddies can talk about Patrick Mahomes and whatever current fad you kids like.
Speaking of a current fad, Jeff, if you were at a sporting event with both of your sons and the person behind you wet his finger and stuck his finger in your children's ear, how would you react to that? Is that high five? Is that get his number, hang out later, buy him a beer? Like, what's your reaction to?
Are we talking about COVID, the original? Well, are we talking about COVID classic? Or are we talking about COVID Omicron?
Omicron, you know, getting it out of your system in 3 or 4 days.
Not being funny, but it sounded like all the COVID was in the dome yesterday. Every COVID.
I think it was. Yeah, I did like that. If you've got a five-year-old double masked, you can go ahead and bet that you can kick his dad's ass. So that's the key. It's a trick question. My kids do not wear masks.
Not even on Halloween.
That's right. Wait, did you wear a mask on Halloween? No, he didn't. He said, No, sir. No, sir. All right. Anyway, that's everybody. We got everybody. Put your hands and legs, put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. It doesn't roll that way. You're right. It's got to be the thing and then the thing.
Howdy, folks. Please keep your hands and arms inside the train and remain seated at all times. Now then, hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
That's enough chit-chat for now. I think the people didn't tune in to hear our production notes, but what they did want to hear is more about that Monday night football game, because that was exciting if you're a Dolphins fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel it too. Damn. You know, I'm so glad we could spend this time together. See, I'm not as crazy as you thought I was.
If you're a Dolphins fan, I think our production notes would probably be better than watching that game.
Yeah. Andrew, was it you or Jake that said something about Snowflake?
Wait, what? Remember
we were listening to the. Was it you that you said it on the. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember while we were listening. Yeah, that's not Snowflake. We have a dorsal fin. So, I mean, it was kind of doomed from the start when they were talking about the last time the Saints or the Dolphins won in the Superdome was 1990. Was it 3 or something?
No, it was like the 80s.
86, I think.
Yeah. They beat us a few years ago, but the game was in Tiger Stadium because of, I guess, the Katrina or whatever. Katrina,
yeah.
So that wasn't technically in the dome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when they said that at the beginning of the broadcast, I was like, okay, we're screwed.
So, Scott, you had mentioned on that two-point conversion reaction about some comments that were made in Discord. I have a feeling you were talking a little bit about some of the comments I was making, because I was complaining about Ian Book's performance, and I will concede that like no one could play behind that offensive line. And my complaint was more, I guess, around the fact that take that aside. And when plays were being called in and he's checking on his arm for the play, but he had the playbook since May. How do you not know the play? Like, if that's the only thing you have to do is study the playbook and become familiar with the terminology.
Well,
that
like
concerned
I said,
me.
Well, I think, first of all, the offense is extremely complicated. There's so many variations of it and so many different formations that even like, when we have rookie wide receivers come in, it takes them almost a whole season at least to get adjusted to it. And not only that, but I almost see our playbook as a fluid thing to where they have all these formations, but they can run different things out of it. So your game plan could change from week to week based on the defense you're playing as to what plays you're going to be running and things like that. And you could set up different formations and run different routes out of the same formation. So I don't really blame the kid. I mean, he didn't even have a practice with the full squad. He had two walkthroughs with everyone. I mean,
well, to be fair, Jeff, what you're saying, Ian Book has not been active for any game this year. He has not been part of a game plan. And the playbook that he has had, that he learns his stuff for the preseason, during the season, he's running the practice squad quarterback. He is emulating the quarterback of the other team. He's studied the other team's playbooks more than he has studied our playbook. I mean, this hasn't been his job. I mean, to be fair, it's kind of like asking a defensive end to go in and play wide receiver because, well, you know, you've been on the field, you've seen what we've been doing in practice. It's basically a different position, even though it's still quarterback. It's a completely different thing he's been asked to do. And like I said, it's not like he's been the second string and we're like, hey, you're active, be ready just in case. He isn't even active for an entire a single game his career.
All right, that's fair. I'll buy that. I'll give him some forgiveness. I will say I felt like there was enough athletic ability that gives you cause to have some kind of hope that he could be a backup, right? Someday, for sure. I mean, I thought some of his throws were good. The ones he could make, that he wasn't, you know, where he could actually, you know, he's not running for his life and throwing the ball in desperation.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't even say he could be a decent backup at this point. Like, he could still be a starter. You can't evaluate him off of that game. I mean, if you look
I don't know anything about Ian Book after last night's game.
Right. If you look at, like, Peyton Manning's rookie season at how many interceptions he threw and, you know, compared to touchdowns, it's ridiculous. He could definitely be a starter. You can't tell anything off of last night. Like, we basically have the same information we had going into the game as we do after the game. Like, you just can't evaluate on that.
It wouldn't have mattered who started a quarterback for the Saints last night with that offensive line. Would not have mattered who started.
Offensive, you mispronounced it. Offensive.
Well, to be fair, what we ended up doing...
It's offensive. It's strictly... It's very offensive.
Beyond the fact that this was, I mean, depending on how you look at it, by the end of the game, your fifth string... offensive tackle playing behind, you know, that would have Ryan Ramczyk's position. Beyond that, we ended up playing the game 10 on 11 because we put Will Clapp in just to stick him next to the tackle to help possibly slow down whoever was lined up over Kyle Murphy and Beninock and all that. We seriously had two guys playing one position together. I mean, already we've been shorthanded. We really played with 10 people.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And nobody would have been successful.
No, yesterday. I don't know what.
No. Right. I mean, that's why Breeze said hell no.
If Breeze would have played, he would be in the hospital. Killed. He would literally be in the hospital. I mean, he would have died last night, or at least been like, put in a coma.
Yep.
His frail
almost body. Ian Book almost got cut in half. I mean, on that one helmet to helmet that they didn't call, I mean, he got killed on that play. Cut in half.
And then something else somebody mentioned last week about, oh, you know, the only concern is if teams decide to focus on Kamara and stop Kamara. And then somebody else was like, oh, that's easier said than done. You can't just do it. Yeah, I don't know. That, like, with literally no receivers to be concerned about, no quarterbacks to be concerned about, no offensive linemen to be concerned about. Kamara really is the only guy on the team on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, you can put a spy on him. You can afford to. You can put two people on him and play with 8-9 guys for the rest of, on the rest of the field, and you're fine. Rush three. You know, play nickel. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, there's ways that, and it's evidence that now for the last two games, I mean, Kamara has been completely shut down. And it's, and who you, because what's the other, you know, the defensive strategy is make anybody else beat you.
So I'm not disagreeing with you, but why, if that's the case and you've got no other option, why not just hand Alvin Kamara the ball? Like, I mean, at some point, him getting
get hurt
2 yards per carry and possibly breaking one to get 6 or 7 yards on a first down is better than what we were doing.
I'd rather would say that you would be fearful that he'd get hurt.
Yeah, I'd rather sacrifice Ian Book than sacrifice Kamara. I mean, to be honest,
feed him to the wolves.
I mean, Kamara's already had, as of last night, more touches than he's ever had in any previous season. So they're obviously using him a lot more because he's the only offensive weapon we have right now, to be honest. And if your offensive line isn't blocking, he can't do anything anyway. And I don't necessarily think it's him. I think it's the line, right? They're not making any holes for him. Just as bad as they are pass protecting, they're just as bad run blocking.
Yeah.
Can y'all imagine if earlier this year or before the season, I would have said that in a meaningful game that we almost consider a must win in order to make the playoffs, like basically a play-in game, that we would have Ian Book to Ethan Wolf twice in the same game? Like, that's just, I mean, Ethan Wolf is your fifth string tight end.
You would assume, if that's the statement you're making, that we were 50-0 up in the fourth quarter. That's right. What you would assume. Right.
Well, everybody's rested. We've already locked in the one seed. Right.
I don't even know if winning by 30 gets Ian Book and Ethan Wolf in a game. It's just the weirdest thing ever.
It's Taysom. Right. Or Trevor.
I don't know. We're mixing it in, but I'll just, on a positive, super proud of the defense and what they did. Werner and Bond, I mean, did as good as could be done, considering, you know, that when they've played before and they've had decent games, they've had either DeMario Davis or Quan Alexander or both of them next to them.
Yep.
Putting them in there together and watching what they did gives me a lot of hope for the future for, as these guys can develop and take over the 2023-2024 linebacker unit.
And I hope it's just youth, right, and not anything else. But the thing that was missing was some kind of, like again, Quan and his just the energy that he brings to the team
when he's
on the field, right?
And DeMario. And
DeMario too, yeah. But you know what I mean? Where they were good, smart, you know, players and reliable, but they were missing that intangible.
Yeah, I think that as those guys have been in the league long enough that they feel comfortable. Those guys right now are just trying to think of what do I do on the next play without looking stupid.
Yeah.
So inspiring somebody else or getting another player to play their best is just not their role right now. CJ Gardner-Johnson, I will just say, I don't know how much y'all can see on TV, was working his tail off to try to keep the team and the crowd into the game.
Okay.
He was highly energetic throughout the entire game, and then this was
he seemed to be getting the plays as well.
Did he?
I think he had
the green dot on his helmet as well. Chauncey was the one that was communicating with the sideline and reeling off the plays.
Werner then was doing the on the field kind of audible type or assignment then, because he was directing traffic,
right?
And I think that's still.
Did y'all notice at the end of the game? I know we're jumping.
Yeah, he played the mic.
Did y'all notice I didn't know if I noticed it until the fourth quarter, but the Ian Book was actually doing the college type check with me, like looking to the sideline, like with 15 seconds left, between plays. Was that just me, or was he actually looking to the sideline, getting a sign for most of the game, or just at the end when they realized he couldn't do it?
So I think the play was coming in through the headset at the start, and then he'd obviously read off his wristband. But then with 15 seconds...
The headset turns off at 14 seconds,
He was looking, and I'm assuming that was for adjustments or audibles, maybe?
Yeah. So, I mean, and that just kind of what we were talking about is that he has not even thought about being in that situation or practiced for that situation this year as our quarterback.
He's not.
I mean, considering what we were missing, the defense only gave up one touchdown still.
I'll be honest. I would be okay with Ian Book having another shot against, say, like the Panthers, if we have Ramchek back, Armstead back, like if we have a line to protect him again. Like I said, I think if he had time and if he had a week to prepare and he had become familiar with running the offense, maybe not that game because it's too important, but like I could see Ian Book growing into a regular roster member. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's because, like, when you're playing in the worst of the worst situation and you didn't, well, I say you didn't.
It's the birthmark.
Say what I said. I'm not gonna count against Ian Book. I'm not gonna say anything bad about Ian Book based on last night. I'm not gonna say anything good either. I just
feel like some passes were where they needed to be.
Future of Ian Book. He is the exact same in my mind as he was on Sunday. I have no idea what we have with him. As far as a football player, I don't know if he's good or bad.
He was trying. The O-line just wasn't there.
I think I figured that out.
I mean, his instinct, he had more instinct to run than Taysom. It was basically every play he gets.
That's because if he didn't run, he was going to get killed.
I don't know how the Dolphins defensive ends and defensive tackles stayed in the game. They had them in so tired because they just had a free run, like, through our offensive linemen over and over again. They had some sort of great rotation going in, but I mean, honestly, their guys had to have been worn out from just being sprinting at the quarterback over and over again.
And they were getting through with four guys. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So,
he only had really three guys on offensive line that were blocking actual people. So if you rush four, that one extra would get through.
Yeah.
Cesar Ruiz wasn't blocking anyone in particular, just air.
Jeez.
Looked like a mime in the box.
Something's wrong with him.
Yeah. I think Carlos was out there last night instead of Cesar.
Anyway, it still baffles me that, like, Sean Payton still should win Coach of the Year because the amount of adversity that this team has had to face this year has got to be more than any other team in the history of the NFL. And then add to the fact, like, since we've won the Super Bowl, the kind of adversity we've had to face. I mean, like, the league is against you. He gets suspended for a whole year on a bullshit scam. You got to deal with Spagnuolo as your defensive coordinator, the worst defense in the NFL, only to be outdone by Rob Ryan with the worst defense in the history of the NFL. Unless it was vice versa. I don't even remember because I blocked those years out. Then you got the Minnesota miracle, the Rams, the refs are back to, you know, executing Darth Goodell's orders. And now you got COVID. And Drew Brees is the first year that Drew Brees isn't here. You get Hurricane Ida destroying and sending you to Jacksonville for your first home game. Your coaches get COVID against Carolina.
You set the record for the most starters in the history of an NFL season.
Yeah.
I mean, on week 15. So it's not even like, I mean,
exactly. They didn't even have enough guys to fill out the roster yesterday.
And this will sound like a joke.
The game. And there was no postpone. There wasn't even a consideration
Never a consideration. This will sound like a joke and this could go into a funny conversation, but I mean this seriously. At what point, and maybe it's not Peyton because of, you know, but anybody, at what point does a Saints coach go Tommy Lasorda on a referee of screaming, like, after watching the replay of a ball that's clearly going against us and they're doing replay and screwing us? At what point does he just go get kicked out of this game? Like, go get escorted out of the stadium.
Appoint somebody to be that guy.
I'm being serious. When do you – We get basketball referees kicked out of, or basketball coaches and baseball coaches kicked out of games all the time.
I got it.
I've seen multiple situations here. Somebody needed to be kicked out and just by losing their mind.
So let's find Kyle Turley. I'm sure he's available to be an offensive lineman coach. And when we get the calls, like, Sean Payton gives him the signal and he grabs, like, the Gatorade bottle and he, like, throws it onto the field and he just starts.
You're allowed to smoke inside the dome, so Kyle Turley wouldn't work.
He's the first guy I'm thinking
of. You know what? When he's well, you send Streif out there because there's not a bigger person on the field than Streif.
That's not on in his character.
6'9".
He's too nice. You need an animal. But I mean, we need to have a coach whose job it is to get kicked out of all the games.
last night, like, and it
what's the NFL like, going to do? Like, start calling invisible penalties on us?
Have him wear the Goodell clown t-shirt and everything.
Yeah, just go all out. Like, let's just be, let's take the Raiders' place.
Last night on the replay, I was paying attention to it. And so the referees all go down and they're watching the one guy watch the video. And we're watching the video replay in the dome where the ball's clearly on the ground. And Peyton's like pumping his hand. He's like, cool, we got it. Like, and he's already talking about the next play. Well, then one referee comes 30 feet down to him while the other ones are still looking at the camera and just walks up to Peyton. And you can tell, like, what he said is, hey, you're not going to win this one. And Peyton just starts screaming and look, pointing at the video board, like completely losing his mind. And the guy just like walks away from him. And so and he's just pointing at the video board and like, we're looking at the ball on the ground. Like, what do you mean I'm losing this? You must be confused.
But I'll say my first thought was, you know, the officiating wasn't the problem of the game. There's more, yada, yada, yada. But if we allow that kind of a thought to happen, then we are losing sight of the fact that there is an officiating problem and you cannot stop talking about it if you ever want it to be taken seriously and addressed. So, yes, it does need to be brought up. That being said, I think the biggest, most egregious error was the whole timeout situation the end of the first half. That was incredible.
That was at the same time. That was on the same replay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just amazing that no one, not even New York, would have called in, because aren't they always watching and overruling and saying like, no, take the fucking timeout away from them. He called a timeout, take it, don't give it back to him. Now, it didn't matter in the end because we froze him and he missed the kick, but other than that, I mean, a lot of the other calls, the challenges, I kind of, like, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, even on the TV, was it Brian Greasy was the color commentator? Yeah. So even he said that's wrong. He's called the timeout.
I think that was Lewis Riddick.
It is Riddick.
The other guy. Yeah.
Was it Riddick?
Why can't Brian Greasy be the color commentator?
They were both color commentators. I'm just saying which one said it.
So who's the play-by-play?
Who was
Samantha? Levy. Samantha Ramirez.
Levy. Steve Levy.
Steve Levy. Yeah.
Marv Levy.
Right. Okay. So, anyway, moving on. I don't know what happens next week. We'll get into that, I guess, when we get into game preview. Yep. But my earlier point about all the adversity was that with all of that piled up, even just what's going on this season, the fact that we still have a shot to make it into the playoffs is why Sean Payton should be coach of the year.
I don't disagree.
I mean, you didn't. It's amazing. And it's shocking that none of the talking heads, the national talking heads, are even seemingly aware, much less talking about that. Like, how is this not a narrative? How is the narrative the Saints lost Drew Brees last year, and look at them, fuck everything up now. Instead,
I think that's what it is. Is they thought that when we lost Brees, that this team was going to go 9-7 or 8 or 9-8 or something like that this year. So if we're doing that, they just would rather be right than talk about how we got there, and that there's a lot more than just
because we Drew were Brees 5-2. When Jameis Winston got hurt, 5-2, we were leading the division.
And we beat the Packers, the Patriots, and the Bucks.
Right.
Screw Devin White.
Yep.
And then COVID. Got to get that COVID.
Which they're talking about now. They, as Schefter tweeted, that they're talking about making it from 10 days to 5 days. Yeah.
So the CDC did announce, was it yesterday?
Right.
That this is the new thing.
Asymptomatic people just need to quarantine for 5 days.
Right.
So surely every team has to play by the same rules for the whole season, right? They can't change that rule.
They'll change it. They're changing it.
Once the Saints have had COVID, it will change before Sunday.
Panthers are going to get all their players back.
If they're asymptomatic and within 5 days, yeah, sure.
Like, the day Tom Brady gets COVID, like let's say Tom Brady gets COVID on say Saturday, he tests positive. The league rule is going to change to where it's a 3-hour quarantine.
Well, you start talking about that. I mean, just going off it, but Bruce Arians,
yeah,
has got COVID.
They just announced he has COVID.
And a couple of their defensive backs.
When's their game? Less than 5 days, more than 5 days away.
Yeah,
Sunday.
It won't affect them.
Sunday.
So this one.
Well, no, what's today? Tuesday.
Well, the rule hasn't changed yet.
The rule hasn't changed yet, so it could affect them.
To be fair, is Tampa Bay going to do worse without Bruce Arians as their, you know, whatever he's doing? Leftwich, I think, will be just fine.
Yeah, that's true.
He will.
That's another thing. I forgot. Like yesterday, we were missing. Was it five coaches?
Four
assistants and whatnot.
Yeah.
So this is now three games that we've been without 100% of our coaching staff.
Yep.
We won one of them against Tampa without our head coach. Any final thoughts on the game before we move on to some better topics?
What you got, Drew?
It wasn't Ian Book's fault, for sure. I think if the offensive line was there, we would have won for sure.
I think he's right.
Out of the defense,
well, he still didn't have anybody.
About what they're doing.
The defense would have played better.
Defense played.
Great. We have Callaway though. I mean, our defense held him to a reasonable amount of points, but there's only so much that they could hold, I guess, with a few. They're missing DeMario and Quan Alexander, so just didn't have anyone.
And then we had Callaway, though. Being on the field, nope. Because the offense goes.
Well, we had Callaway.
He loves Callaway.
Did we have Callaway?
Uh-huh. He loves Callaway.
Four for 46.
There you go.
We got to see Lil Jordan use his size to out jump the underthrown pass, but it shows he breaks out and you're like, oh, he's gonna get a touchdown. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot he's the slowest wide receiver in the NFL. That was his big thing coming out of Texas, is they were like, okay, his size and all that stuff, let's see how he runs. And then he runs a 4.79 40, and they're like, yeah, you're not getting drafted.
That looked like every game of Madden I've ever played.
Teron Armstead ran a faster 40.
He really did. Teron Armstead ran a faster 40 than Lil Jordan Humphrey at the comeback.
He did.
But then Teron got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, also, so the Traquan experiment's over, right? I mean,
God, I hope so.
No, I think that there's pretty much no way he's not on this team next year. It's going to be nobody else is signing him. It's not like we're.
I mean, if it doesn't bring in anything,
three more receivers.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, if he's familiar with the offense and he's not asked to be the number one guy,
he's going to become the new Brandon Coleman.
Tommy Lee Lewis. Make him the new Tommy Lee Lewis. That's the fifth.
I'll tell you who I like, this Aesop guy. Or what's his name? The Winston returner?
Aesop Winston Jr.
Yeah. I like this kid.
He's no Kwon Baker.
He's not. Definitely not.
No, he can return kicks.
Kwon Baker can tackle him.
That's right.
We've got Deontay back next week anyway.
Kwon Baker's going to be the next JT Gray.
We do have Deontay back. And, you know, and
Pro Bowl.
Looking forward, looking a little.
Well, I know who made the Pro Bowl. But
it's basically, we almost our whole team had a bye week. So we should be healthy next week.
Right. And
look what happened to Cam Jordan having a COVID bye week. So all these people got on the same vitamins. I mean, everybody's going to come back and be an all pro player for these last two games and for this playoff run.
Well, that's just it. If you're joking, but if the whole team, quote unquote, has had COVID, we're in the clear now, and we don't have to worry about anything. Like, we're not going to key players. Twice. Well, I understand that, but you're not going to get it like twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know if Taysom gets it from his other wife, if it's like is a different strand or something like that. I don't know how that works.
Get that Mormon COVID.
Yes.
And Andrew, who
made the Pro Bowl?
To the Pro Bowl?
Okay, you got Alvin Kamara, obviously, JT Gray, Cameron Jordan, and Marshawn Lattimore.
That's it. Okay. And now Lattimore didn't lose $500,000 because that's not a Pro Bowl deal. That's an all pro incentive.
Correct. Correct.
That they restructured.
He's going to get it paid into him anyway. It's actually turned into a guarantee, I think, is what they did.
Yeah. He just gets it next year, not this year.
Right.
So I like that JT Gray made it. The others are obvious. CD Deuce was lobbying hard on Twitter for votes.
Yeah.
For like the 3 weeks or 2 weeks when he could get votes, he wanted to go bad.
But nobody but Saints fans like him. So
that's true.
So I mean, it's true.
Also, they don't
trash talks.
Yeah.
I know they really just announced it, but when did the voting actually cut off?
Like sometime last week, I think.
Yeah.
So like when the voting cut off, did Cam Jordan deserve to be, like, without his last two games, Cam Jordan deserve to be a Pro Bowl?
Pro Bowl's popularity contest for fans.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know, but I mean, I'm just kind of using that as, what he's done the last 2 weeks has definitely been Pro Bowl worthy. That's funny.
The Pro Bowl isn't about who's better or the best for the season. The Pro Bowl is about which players deserve a free trip to Hawaii for what they've done in the NFL comprehensively. Both on the field.
Is the Pro Bowl still in Hawaii?
I don't know.
In Vegas this year.
Is it?
Really? I thought they did the Super Bowl that one or two times, the same side as the Super Bowl, and then they were like, we're just going to go back to Hawaii because that's where people want to be.
I don't know. Their stadium in Hawaii is closed, isn't it?
For why? COVID?
Because it's falling apart.
Oh. You really think with all that Pro Bowl money.
I really think CD Deuce wore yellow gloves to troll last night. Like, because it always looked like there was a flag on the field whenever he was running.
Somebody did that the week before. I thought.
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins,
yeah.
So maybe he wore them since Jenkins was out.
I think he wore them since Jenkins was out. Yeah. Speaking of, I know I mentioned last night, but freaking PJ Williams took the job. Yeah, please have the job.
Yeah, he was really good last night. Really good.
All right, let's get into pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the control and how you take it.
All right. Go ahead. give us an update.
All right, let's see. Uncle Baby Billy, Ben, Jason, and Wes all tied with me for the week at 4-1, followed by Scott at 3-2, James 2-3. All right, in the larger league, Allie Gibbs remains on top, followed by me, Uncle Baby Billy, Scott, Trevor Bruno, Paul Perrette, Big Easy Gajon, Carp,
yeah,
Chris Farmer, Sans Hobbs, and that is your winning bracket. Your losers bracket starts off with Wes, and then James, Neil, Mr. Coach Klein, Jambalaya Brothers, The Mailman, Ben, Jason, and then Drummer. So Jason, Drummer, and Ben staying at the bottom of the barrel where they belong.
All right, fuck you, buddy.
All right, Scott, what games we got this week?
All right, this week in Pick'ems, our first game has the 11-4 Kansas City Chiefs, who are coming off a win against the Steelers, 36-10. They are traveling to Cincinnati, who is 9-6. They are coming off a huge win against Baltimore, 41-21. Joe Burrow was absolutely amazing this week, over 500 yards, 4 touchdowns. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a shame not to play him?
It would be a shame. Cincinnati is getting 5 at home versus Kansas City.
What? Oh, it's Kansas City. That's why. Scott, have you come down after since the Joe Burrow game, or are you still up?
I'm still hard.
All right. So who are you taking?
I'll take the 5 points.
Yes, I'm taking Cincinnati and Joey B.
Yeah, same here.
All right, looks like we're all taking Cincinnati.
Drew?
I'm out. I'm
still giving you. Give us your pick. Give us your pick, Drew.
Okay, Cincinnati. Only because of Joey B.
Jeff, since Drew is out, could you guys get some hair ties or some toe rings or something? And then we could put a couple of them out. And he could pick one, and that could be associated with each team. Be
Uncle Baby Billy.
So could,
Baby
like, Billy. I mean, we could.
No. All right, our next game.
Some beer cans.
The 10-5 Arizona Cardinals. They are coming off a loss to the Colts. They are at Dallas, who is 11-4. They're coming off a win against the Washington football team. Dallas is favored by 5.5.
Sorry, who are they playing, Scott? I missed that.
Arizona Cardinals at Dallas Cowboys. Dallas favored by 5.5.
Yeah.
What's the points?
What did Arizona do this week?
Arizona lost to the Colts 22-16.
Who gets the
Arizona
points?
Arizona have lost 3 in a row.
I'll take Arizona and the points.
Dallas also did clinch, I believe, a playoff berth.
That doesn't for me. I'll take Arizona.
They clinched the East.
Is anybody heard it?
They clinched the East.
Anybody hurt on Arizona or like any reason why Kyler Murray would do it?
DeAndre Hopkins is not playing for the rest of the year.
Kyler Murray hasn't been doing too good.
Yeah, I'm taking Dallas with that.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if Dallas is going to rest people.
Clinched. I know.
They can still get the one seed. I'm going to take Dallas.
Yeah, I'm taking Dallas. They're still fighting for the one seed. I'm taking Dallas.
You know what? I'm gonna stay with Arizona. I'm not gonna switch.
You gonna trust Kyler Murray again?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah. Now that it doesn't matter for me. Yeah, he's gonna probably have his best week ever now that I'm out of the playoffs.
Gotcha. All right.
Arizona is also 7-1 on the road this year, so that's a good opportunity for them.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right. Our next game has the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 8-7. They are coming off a win over the Broncos. They are at Indy, who is 9-6. They are coming off of a win against the Cardinals. It is a pick'em game. It is probably mostly due to Carson Wentz has COVID and will not be playing in this game.
Raiders. That was announced. Carson Wentz was announced this afternoon, wasn't it?
This is Vegas at Indy, right?
Yes.
Also, let's be clear. Carson Wentz is unvaccinated and he will not be back for this game. And probably Sam Ellinger, former Texas and SMU quarterback.
Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders.
I'll take the Colts. It's Carson Wentz. Who gives a crap? He's just going to hand the ball off to the running back. Like that's all. They're going to do the exact same thing they do every other game.
I don't know. That's pretty good receivers.
Yeah, it's a straight up pick 'em. I'm going to take the Colts.
Are you still in this, Drew? Are you out?
No, I'm out. I mean, but I'm okay, just saying.
Be out then.
What was your pick, Drew? Who are you picking, Drew?
Colts.
Drew's picking the Colts. He's,
you disagreed with me and then I didn't take them too.
Who
are you taking, Scott?
I'm taking Raiders.
Okay, so James and Scott's taking the Raiders. Me, Wes, and Drew are taking the Colts.
Yes.
All right.
Our next game, the 8-7 Miami Dolphins coming off a win against the JV Saints. Go to Tennessee, who is 10-5. They beat the 49ers this past week.
Tennessee beat them 49ers?
They did.
Wait, who did Tennessee beat? Who did Tennessee beat?
The 49ers.
You hear that, Jake? Tennessee beat the 49ers? Yeah, I didn't hear Jake talking about that this week. He usually talks about San Francisco.
That's probably because they lost
when they win.
And every time I brought up the name AJ Brown, he got really mad.
So it's Miami at Tennessee. Tennessee is favored by 3.5.
Titans.
I am going to tighten up and take the Titans.
Do they need Titans. This win?
Yeah.
They're 10-5. Miami's 8-7.
Tennessee can clinch if they win this week, I think.
All right. It's all Tennessee all the way.
Yeah, Tennessee.
So they got Miami's lulled into some false sense of security.
Miami's won.
Yeah, the Dolphins are going to hit rock bottom this week.
They're going to Tennessee. That's right. Will they remember it?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
And now for our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
This game has the 4-11 New York Giants coming off a loss to the Eagles. Pretty shitty. At the Chicago Bears, who are 5-10. The Chicago Bears actually beat the Seahawks this past week, 25-24. And Chicago is at home, and they are favored by 6.
Wow. Is Danny Dimes playing?
No.
No.
Is Mike Glenn playing?
Are the Lions and Seahawks not the shitty game of the week? I just want to interject that.
Because the Giants and the Bears are, Wes. I talked to Jason about this. I don't know.
I guess Jason really likes to see the Bears in the shitty game of the week because we hate the Bears.
The Bears.
I don't know.
6 points.
I was actually just going to make a comment about 6 points.
More than I was expecting.
That's a lot of points for two shitty teams.
Well, my rule is when you got that many points in a shitty game, you take the points.
Yeah.
But Danny Dimes is not playing. I don't see how the Giants
Bears
score points in this game.
That and Mike Glenn isn't playing either.
Yeah,
I think Chicago.
I think they would score points if they got a safety, a field goal, or a touchdown.
All right. I'm actually going to go against my better judgment. I'm going to take the Bears in this.
A sarcasm, Scott.
No, what are you talking about? Sarcasm. I'm going to take the Bears as well.
Yeah, Bears.
Wes, you took the Giants?
I didn't. I'll take the Bears. I just said that's a lot of points.
All right, Drew.
Bears.
Wow, we're all taking the Bears.
Fuck me.
All right, so quick rundown. Kansas City at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is getting 5 at home. Arizona at Dallas. Dallas is 5.5-point favorite. Las Vegas Raiders at Indianapolis. It is a pick'em. Miami at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite, and the Giants at Chicago. Chicago is a 6-point favorite.
All right, everybody, get your picks in before the first games kick off.
Tweet I don't know if any of those are Saturday games.
I don't either. But tweet us at Dome Patrol PCast, hashtag pick'ems to get your picks in. It's getting down to the wire. We got a few people fighting it out for first place, but for those of you who are at the bottom and have no chance of winning, just finish it out.
Let's try to get above 500.
Let's see if you can get above, or just don't be last, or beat the guy in front of you. Just come up with your own little stake bets between each other. Jason's gonna fight tooth and nail not to be last place and be the embarrassment of the entire Don't Patrol podcast. And Ben and Jason have the same record right now. So there's another battle, so there's a lot of great battles happening at the bottom of the league. Neil, will he get above 500? Mr. Coach Klein, who was once a winner, is now not a winner. Big Easy Gajon, that's Jake and Drew's favorite player.
I'm rooting for Big Easy Gajon for the win.
They love his name. All right, let's talk about the Saints preview. Where the Saints playing against the Carolina Panthers. The last time we played them, they got the cheap win because we were missing half our coaching staff. It was also an Ida displacement story. Both teams are completely different now. They had Christian McCaffrey then, now they don't. So
he gets hurt every year
now.
I go back to something I said earlier in the episode where I think if we get Ramczyk and or Armstead back, basically if we get a little bit more reinforcements on the offensive line side of the ball, we should win this game.
And we'll probably have Taysom back.
That's
or,
true.
Or Simeon, one or the other.
Wait, it was Taysom out because of COVID or
the COVID.
If the day you test positive is day zero, Sunday will be Taysom's like 11th day where he could, I mean, not practice all week and be active for Sunday's game possibly.
If the league says like tomorrow, oh, we're going to do the 5-day thing, then he's back, right?
But I don't know if he's vaccinated.
He's not vaccinated, and I don't think that they're talking about changing that for asymptomatic people. I mean, where he did have symptoms.
Right.
What were his symptoms? Fumbling?
Yes.
Hesitation.
I think even if it's Simeon and we have a decent line, I think we could beat Carolina.
I don't see how they score points on our defense.
Oh, you're talking about Carolina.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with that. Like, we could win with a field goal.
Yeah.
But can we get a field goal?
We got it last night. If we could get it last night, we could get it against Carolina.
I could see Cam Newton rushing for a huge gain for a touchdown.
Nah.
That's it.
I think you have lost your mind.
He does it on us.
He's done.
No, he's
he
done.
Is done.
I think he's without done. Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is the Panthers.
He wasn't even their starting quarterback. He led the team in rushing, but Sam Darnold was back and was the quarterback for the Panthers this week.
Oh, was he? I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I mean,
they lost 32-6 to the Bucks, so maybe he won't play too much more.
Every year.
Sam Darnold threw 32 passes, Cam Newton threw 13.
So that sounds like Sam Darnold played more.
Yeah. Either way.
I'm going to have to check the math. I'm on my phone, so I can't use the calculator.
But how many times did Cam Newton hand off?
It doesn't even matter. Either one of them.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yeah. I mean,
it goes back. Who cares who their quarterback is? It's about McCaffrey. Every year, Carolina starts off undefeated for 3 games, or it goes 4-1 or something, and everybody's crowning them the greatest team in the NFC. They're going to win the NFC South, and then on schedule, set your watch to it. McCaffrey gets hurt, out for the year. Carolina falls apart and they're done. I'm just waiting for all of these injuries catch up to where they're not winning those first few games of the year. But the bottom line is he is their Traquan Smith. He or their Terron Armstead. He cannot play a full season. He's the only reason they ever have a chance. He's not on the field, so they're not going to win, period. They can't win without him.
I have a name. DJ Moore.
Who will not stand a chance against Marshawn Lattimore.
Isn't it Moore?
I said Moore.
I thought he said Marr.
Sounded like Marr.
Sounded like Marr.
Who's doing
Moore. DJ Moore.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But he's got that one.
Sean's going to shut him down.
It sounds like Drew's picking Carolina to win.
Oh, no. I think the Saints are going to win.
Then stop.
I hope they're going to win. I was just naming players as a team.
Oh, I can name players too.
Who?
Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill, Trevor Siemian, Callaway. I'm not going to name their players.
Can you?
No.
Right. Aside from the ones that we've talked about, does anybody know who plays over there?
I didn't even know more players.
I mean, Chuba Hubbard was doing decent earlier this year in relief of McCaffrey, but I think in this past game, he had like 5 carries for 9 yards or 6 carries for 9 yards. So they were losing so bad to the Bucks, they couldn't really run the ball anymore. So it kind of made them one-dimensional. I don't know if we're going to be able to score enough points to make the game that crazy to where they will just abandon the run. The big thing in this game is, as terrible as they are, if Armstead and Ramczyk aren't back, like, our team's going to struggle against any starting defensive end and defensive tackle in the NFL. I mean, as I realize that our defense can do good, but our offense is, even with Taysom, we just said a minute ago that Drew Brees in his prime would not have done well with this offensive line. Well, so we can't just say Taysom Hill is going to come back next week and do well with this offensive line. The offensive line, and it's really weird that Ramczyk and Armstead Ramczyk's missed 4 games now without going on IR, which, I mean, he could have gone on IR and missed 3, but so I'm really not sure what's going on. But if those guys aren't coming back, like this is a problem.
I think Ramczyk would have played this week if he didn't get COVID, wouldn't he? I think Ramczyk was scheduled to play this week.
I think so.
I mean, he practiced 2 weeks ago one day and then hasn't played the last 3 games.
Yeah. I do wonder whether Armstead was held out last night, though.
For what reason?
Because we knew last night was going to be a shit show, and
you didn't want.
Well,
to...
I think that the game would have been much better if Armstead could have played. Then you could have moved James Hurst over to right tackle. So yeah. I think that if Armstead was anywhere close to being able to play, that I think they would have pushed him to play rather than holding him out.
So the Saints,
or you can edit that out.
I will. I thought it was points, but it's yards per game. Never mind.
This guy is fucking stupid. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're full of shit.
I thought it was points, and I'm like, eee.
Yeah. I think we're our 30th or 31st in the league in yards per game.
Well, look, we haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Nope.
When was the last time that happened to the Saints?
2 weeks ago. But other than that, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll be at the game.
So how many of y'all, so it'll be you and Jason, or are you taking Jason's tickets?
The kids. No, Jake and Drew are coming. Jason and Renee are going. Yeah.
So there'll only be 2 of y'all
taking another friend's ticket.
So basically, we need neither Wes or Gunn to go to the game this weekend, right?
Right. You're going to have 2 of y'all there.
Yeah.
You can't have 3 or more.
Well, does Drew count, Jake?
No.
He hasn't got his official podcast yet.
Yeah.
That's right. He doesn't have his card.
No, he does not.
He's got a background, though.
He does.
I'll pull an air. Don't make me pull an Aaron Rodgers. I'll make a fake one.
That's good. See,
kids. I think that wasn't Aaron Rodgers. That was
Yes, it was
a fake vaccination card.
No, the fake vaccination card was Antonio Brown.
Aaron Rodgers
misrepresented his vaccine status.
Oh, he's gonna nitpick it. Debbie,
it is what it is. I'm just telling you.
I tried to get my card just then, and you just ruined it.
Sorry.
All right, what is your score predictions, everyone?
3-0 Saints.
6-3 Saints.
We'll go 16-9 Saints.
10-3 Saints.
Nobody's got the Saints scoring more than 20 points.
I'm going to say 13-12 Saints.
You watch this game end up like 48-44 or something now.
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying that they're going to score 4 field goals, Dad?
Yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, we need to have a shot at the playoffs, we need to win the next 2 games and San Francisco has to lose 1. Is that correct?
So possible, we need the
that's what I read today.
We need the Vikings to lose to the Packers. We have to win out.
Wait, start over because you broke up.
We have to win out. We need the Vikings to lose to the Packers. Yeah. And we need the 49ers to lose either to the Texans or the Rams.
Right,
the Eagles clinch if they beat Washington, which is probably going to happen. But our best shot is we need the Rams to be competitive for the first seed and beat the 49ers and not rest their people. And then we need the Packers. They are also going for the 1 seed, so we need them beating the Vikings.
I think the Packers are going to beat the Vikings, and I think the Rams are going to destroy the 49ers. I think the Texans are going to beat the 49ers.
That's the last game of the year. You think the Texans will beat the 49ers?
Yep.
Jimmy G's injured.
Yeah, Jimmy G is injured. So, it's a possibility.
There is that.
But the Texans might make them better.
It might. It could very well make them better, yeah. it could.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Guns plan is, I guess, still technically in effect since we beat
Tampa.
It doesn't get any worse.
His plan is the method for how you're going to achieve the goal. Guns' goal is still in effect.
Okay,
his
Guns' goal.
The plan is off the table. It broke. Every point of his plan has been wrong. Now he could still achieve his goal because he can back his way in by giving every kid.
He only missed one game.
He missed the Tampa game. His plan called for that to be a loss.
So it's swapped.
And then the Miami game to be Miami. And yeah. Tampa. So he's 100% wrong.
Plan. That's what it's he said. The results, plan. Right? But the plan is not
okay.
Right. If I made a plan that we're gonna go, you know, take this street to that street to that street to that street, and then we're gonna get it to the Superdome. But we got to the Superdome by taking four different streets. Then we didn't follow my plan.
Yeah, I guess you reached the goal. At the end of the day, you just need to hit.
Look, I need Gun to be wrong. All right.
We can't afford
for him to have bragging rights.
I don't want
to
live in a world where Gun is. It's basically what Jeff is saying.
We'll never hear the end of it. No, but for real, I want us to win. So. Yes, we should win this game, but we need a lot of help. And I forget that when we talk about, oh, we have a chance to get in the playoffs. We need to get real. I'm going to start being realistic. Even if we win these two games, the odds of us getting into the actual playoffs.
I think I saw on the telecast last night, if we had won, the chances were 60%. And if we had lost, the chances were 30 to 35%, something like that.
34%, I think it is. Yeah. 34%.
I thought if we won, they were 75%.
I'm just going by what they showed before the game. They showed on the TV what the percentage was, and it was like 60%.
You know.
I mean, Jeff, going in this game, are you worried about the Panthers are going to keep pounding or not?
Always.
If Gunn was going, I'd be worried if they'd keep pounding. Keep pounding with wet willies.
They only pound at home, so they're going to be in the dome, so there's going to be no pounding.
Good to know.
And McCaffrey's not there. Neither is Sam Mills.
No. Or is he?
What?
What?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. You just lost
your card. Sam Mills. Yeah, your card is gone.
Jeff, this is the Dome Patrol podcast, and he doesn't know who Sam Mills is.
I'll give him 30 lashes when we hang up.
51 lashes, please.
51 lashes. You know what, Andrew? That's probably worth a Google.
Yeah, you might want to Google that one quite quickly.
Why don't you Google? Have them Google all of them, Jeff. The whole Dome Patrol.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know. That was the one.
He's saying okay because he's saying, like, oh, he's the former Carolina coach. Got it.
Yeah.
That's why he's saying okay.
You're going to stick with the coach level. All right. Is that all your final thoughts, everybody? Anybody else?
Yeah.
Andrew's going to do a full book report on Sam Mills next week. I'm going to make him do a social studies.
We just really need it on the first half of his life.
You know, like the first, the social studies fair project board and all that. Like he needs to do it on the home dome patrol, for sure.
Yeah.
Ricky Williams.
Jeff,
oh my God! Why did I say that? I know where
he gets it from.
I meant Jackson. Why did I say that? Damn it!
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
I think we're like the Saints. We're just completely disheveled.
Jeff has the COVID fog.
You're throwing off
COVID brain. Yeah, fog.
Maybe I should test myself. I might have COVID. All right,
not
that's
angry,
all.
Not Jeff. We're just disappointed.
Yeah. Like I was last night. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. If you want to participate in game day chat, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, Sam Mills donkeys. Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Ricky Williams.